You're listening to the Fanboy Garage Podcast.
And welcome to the Fanboy Garage. I'm Chris Lasanti, joined by my co-host, Aaron Varola.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, folks? Welcome to episode 153 of the Fanboy Garage. How are you guys doing? Hope all is well. We are back. Another week, another episode. We have seen the Eternals, and that just crushed the box office. So we'll give our take on that, as well as kind of report how it's been doing in the in theaters. We saw a trailer for the Book of Boba Fett. Actually, we didn't talk about Morbius.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But let's start with the Eternals and its box office performance, and then we'll give you guys an in-depth scoop on what we think is up with the film.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting too, because we have not discussed about this. Like, I haven't even seen you put up any tweets about it or anything. I have no idea what your thoughts are on this. You have no idea what my thoughts are on this, so that'll be fun. But let's talk about money first. Obviously, Eternals was number one at the box office this weekend. It did $71 million. And, you know, I mean, what are you going to say? It also opened to $90 million overseas. So $161.7 million is actually the second biggest worldwide box office opening of the pandemic era. So, you know, clearly it's doing well. Now, here's the only thing, though. The word of mouth on this is not great, right? So forget the critics' reviews for a second, but the cinema score was a B.
Wow.
Okay, which is low for a comic book movie. I mean, even like the Venom movies got B pluses, right?
Right.
Shang-Chi got an A minus, right? I mean, there have been plenty of movies that have gotten A's and, you know, A minuses. So for a B is pretty low. And the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, for whatever that's worth, has plummeted down too, from like, it's down to about 81%. Right now. So clearly the word of mouth on this is not going to be great. So it'll be interesting to see how this movie holds up. It doesn't have a lot of competition, you know, the next few weeks, but all signs are pointing to this movie not having great legs, although you never know.
Yeah. And oddly enough, so I've been just, so you were saying I didn't post anything on Twitter, and that's by design. Obviously, I want to talk about the movie, but it was funny because I watched a lot of people kind of talk about their second viewing of the film and how it skewed their sentiments about it.
Okay.
So, for what that's worth, you know, I think, and we'll talk a little bit about it, but
sure.
I think there's a lot of meat on the bone for folks to digest.
Yeah. Yeah. So looking at some other things, Dune, which had been number one for 2 weeks, drops to second place this weekend. 7.6 million, 51% drop. Not terrible, you know, considering, again, this movie's available on HBO Max.
Yeah.
It's sitting at 83.9 million. It will probably cross $100 million or hit $100 million. And global is over 300 million right now. I think that's good for, again, for a movie that is still kind of a niche sci-fi thing and also is available on HBO Max. Venom 2 is 6 straight weekends in the top 5 for Venom 2. Venom Let There Be Carnage. Only a 22% drop this weekend. 4.5 million. It's at 197 million. So it's going to get over that $200 million mark. It'll be the second movie of the pandemic era to reach that number, behind Shang-Chi, which is like 223 million.
Right.
So, you know, great numbers.
Do we think it beats it?
I mean, I guess it depends on how it holds. It would probably be asking a lot to think that this movie has another $20 million, or I'm sorry, it would actually be another $26 million or $27 million,
right,
with Shang-Chi making, you know, nothing. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it will, but that's okay. It doesn't have to.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I mean, it's Venom, Let There Be Carnage. You know, it's like the second Venom movie. I mean, the fact that it reached 200, it's only the second movie in this era, pandemic era, to reach 200 million is insane. So now, you know, looking at some of the other movies that we've been following, No Time to Die did 33 million global. And so that number, because really for Bond, for No Time to Die, the story of that movie is really the global box office, right? Because, you know, it's doing fine here, you know, in the U.S., but the global number for that is $667 million.
Yeah. It's like $500 million right there.
$667 million worldwide. It's going to cross the $700 million mark next weekend. And fascinating number for Bond is... It's made $122 million in the UK. And that's like crazy to me because it's made like $132 million or something like that here in domestically, which let me get the actual number for
it's
that.
It's 143.
$143 million domestic, right?
Yeah.
So $122 million in the UK. There's 67 or 66 million people that live in the UK. Right? And that movie opened in 700 theaters there. And it's at $122 million. And there's 335 million people here in the US,
people
not counting Canada.
People see that thing multiple times.
And it opened in like 4,000 theaters here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty stunning.
It's, you know, and it's a great way for Daniel Craig to go out in terms of his tenure as Bond. It's an emotional film for me, it was. And I'm sure people are feeling it. And, you know, he for a guy who was crapped on for being a blonde-haired, blue-eyed
right.
Bond.
Yeah, and too dark and gritty and all that.
Yeah. That's a great send-off for him.
And I think Skyfall finished at like 136, the equivalent of $136 million in the UK. But that was through its entire run.
Yeah.
You know, this movie still has legs, so it looks like it's going to surpass probably Skyfall or at least come close.
In the era that it's in.
In this era. And even if it doesn't surpass it and it comes close
still
seriously.
Still, that's nothing to scoff at.
No, it sure isn't.
By any means. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that movie again at some point.
You're going to be able to, well, if you want to spend $20 to rent it, it's apparently going to be available Tuesday.
I wouldn't see. That's the thing. $20 to rent it.
Yeah, I know. No. We're on the same page with that.
No.
Yeah.
For that, I'll just go to the theaters again.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
I'll buy it.
But that is quick. Amazing how quick.
Yeah,
it's,
Seriously.
It's hitting,
seriously.
31 days. 31 day window.
With theaters kind of becoming, I want to say get back to normal, but that it's not really the thing yet. I like the flexibility of having things available quicker.
Sure.
It's just,
absolutely.
It's good. Because if it's something I really, really need to see, want to see again, like, not saying that Bond is not that thing, but $20 is $20. So.
Right. Now, if it was a purchase, that's different.
Yeah.
But just as a rental, I agree. So that's pretty much the box office. I mean, Halloween Kills, for anybody that still cares, it did look like it was going to head towards 100 million, but I don't think it's going to now because after Halloween weekend, where it got a little bit of a bump, it just plummeted. It was over another 70 something percent drop.
Yikes.
It did like 2.5 million this weekend. So it's going to probably fall short, but still it's over $90 million. At domestic and over like $130, $140 million, which for a slasher film and a sequel is fantastic. So,
and it's not going to stop that third movie from coming out.
Of course not. Yeah.
Let's go.
And Halloween Kills is the type of movie, too, that will have another life on home media as well. You know, slasher films tend to do that. There's only been, when it looked like Halloween Kills was going to possibly hit $100 million, I actually looked up like, how many slasher films have actually reached that number. And it's Halloween 2018, which holds the record. and then Scream and Scream 2, and that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yo, like, speaking of Scream, did you catch that trailer for Scream?
I did.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of was my thought, was, this might not be terrible.
Right.
But
I'm like, I still see the bloody footprints to the dead horse that y'all guys have been beating in the backyard, but
yeah.
Sure.
I mean, for me, like, I barely remember Scream 4.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe they can figure out.
Yeah, the first two stick out.
The first two stick out. The third one sticks out only because of how, like, cheesy and kind of jump the sharky the ending was, where it was like, okay, now they've beaten the Scooby-Doo thing, the Scooby-Doo ending to, like, a dead horse, right, like you said. Then I barely remember Scream 4. We'll see. I mean, all this one's just called Scream again, because that's the thing. But, you know, amazingly enough, on this, looking at that list, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake with Jessica Biel made $80 million at the domestic box office.
Wow.
In 2003 or whenever that came out. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I forgot how big a hit that was.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, looking back, that was like the start of the revisiting of like some of the classics.
But like that, like, made way more, it made more money than the Friday the 13th quote unquote remake. It made more money than the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. It made more money. I don't remember if it made more money than Rob Zombie's Halloween, but it was like up there. I mean, it's crazy like that. And then the rest of the movies that have followed have not made a lot of money, which is also weird. So it goes to show you that, like, nostalgia.
Around that time, we moved from slasher films were like a dime a dozen back, like, because you had Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer,
right, which are also Not What You Did Last Summer was also up on that list as well.
Yeah, and then it moved into like the paranormal stuff
and Saw
that we're still kind of in right now, but I think we're fading out of that, because then you had like My Bloody Valentine and like, I forgot the other one, the one with the kid face thing, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Haven't seen any of them.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, they actually just released the new Paranormal Activity, I think, on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's not my thing. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, not watching it. Sorry.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
I stopped at, like, with the family thing, I think it was like 4. What, I don't even remember, but I stopped watching it.
Yeah,
kinda lost its impact on me after the first one. I swear to God, didn't sleep 3 days.
Really?
Messed me up, man.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't really scare me. I mean, I'll still never forget when I saw the first, I saw the Blair Witch Project, and everyone kept telling me how scary it was, and how, like, they'll never go camping again, they'll never sleep, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I remember literally wanting to put my foot through, back then when you could put your foot through a TV, put my foot through the TV at the end of that movie. I was angry.
That movie did not do it for me. I was like, what just happened?
Yeah. By the way, just for those of you who were waiting, yes, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake beat out Rob Zombie's Halloween remake by like $100,000at the domestic box office. So crazy how successful that movie was. And again, like, it didn't, like, the things that came after it, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning and all of that stuff, like, none of that made any kind of real money at the box office. But that's the nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Should we put this on the shelf and get into Eternals. It's not The Eternals.
I know. Let me start by giving you a little look story into my theater experience for this movie. So I get to the theater, and
what time did you go?
It was early. It was the first showing on Saturday morning. It was like a 10:40 showing.
God bless you.
Yeah. So I get there and go to get my concessions, And
at 10:30 in the morning, when you're picking up like a sausage, egg, and cheese,
I gotta have my, especially for like a almost a 3 hour experience. You know, when you consider how long you're gonna be in the theater, had to get my drink.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I get my drink, and they hand me. Apparently, this Regal theater that I go to has, in the last month, I guess, since Bond, has switched to the paper straws. Which in New York are now, like, I guess, required. Now, I get the environmental need for this, but paper straws are disgusting.
Well, right? Like, after they're fine after 5 minutes, or before 5 minutes, and then, right, then before you know it,
wet,
like,
paper is just not a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
But here's the amazing thing. They put a plastic lid on my soda, and it's a new plastic. It's a different type of, like, clearly a different type of plastic than what they used to use, because it's like very clear. So I'm assuming it may be like a recycled product, right, or something that's more eco-friendly. And if that's the case, then I'm wondering why they can't make the damn straws out of that material.
Dude, did you turn 60 overnight? You all right?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I don't understand. Like, yeah, so that,
I gotcha.
Yeah, that, like, why? You're going to give me a paper straw so that we don't use plastic, but then put a plastic lid on my cup of, on my Diet Pepsi, because they don't sell Diet Coke anymore. I'm sorry, they don't sell Coke Zero anymore at Regal. And everybody knows Coke Zero is the best Diet Cola on the market. So anyway, I get into the theater and I get comfortable, and then I have a feeling that there's going to be, like, I'm going to have a troubled experience, because the guy sitting behind me, now, to be fair, this was stupid, but, like, they show a commercial for the Regal app, and the commercial was actually trying to convince us to buy tickets for Eternals, which is weird.
Yeah.
So, but he was very unhappy about this. Like, he was, like, we're already here. Like, I don't understand. Like, why do you got? I'm like, oh God, this is.
Oh boy.
I feel this is going to be a problem. And then he turned into like the laughing idiot.
Oh God.
I mean, this guy had this guttural laugh, and he laughed like the Clifford the Big Red Dog trailer came on, and that was like the funniest thing he's ever seen. I mean,
oh boy.
I'm like, oh God, if there's,
it's so funny because it was on my show too, and I was like, this is the dumbest shit in the world. Why?
And
why
this guy wasn't, I mean, he was probably around my age, maybe a little younger, but like, you know, probably too old to have thought that trailer was funny. And just laughed at any trailer that had any comes, like, oh man, if this movie has any jokes in it at all, like, I might lose it. And then, you know, that wouldn't have been as bad, but
maybe he was a wake and bake kind of guy.
Well, maybe, but see, that wouldn't have really bothered me so much if the only thing that was more guttural than his laughs were his burps, which he chose to unleash on more than one occasion throughout the film. And I mean, these were like, you could hear these developing, like you can hear them travel through his digestive system. On their way out to their explosive release. I mean, these were coming from a deep, dark place. And I just was like, and there were like these two girls sitting next to me, like there was a seat in between us, but I'm just sitting there saying to myself, like, really, dude? Like, seriously? Yeah. So anyway, so that was so for all the people who are like, oh, the theater experience is awesome. You should you should go to the theaters to see all of these movies. Like, it's the only way to watch these. Yeah, you sit in front of the laughing, burping idiot drinking Diet Pepsi out of a paper straw and then tell me how great the theater experience is.
Yeah. I mean, I told you about my Venom experience.
Yeah.
I was like literally sitting next to a couple. Like, that is just so awkward, but you're... experience sounds way worse. Way worse. How many people were in your theater? And is Regal doing the space seating on purpose?
No. Okay. It just worked out that way. You know what? It was, I was a pretty good crowd.
Yeah.
Especially for that, like 10:40 a.m. on a Saturday. Yeah, and it wasn't a premium screen. It was just the regular, the regular screen. I was actually pretty impressed with how many people, I mean, it wasn't packed, you know, like clearly like the section I was in, there was like me and then the two people that were kind of next to me and then Burpee. And, and I don't know if there was anyone else in that row behind him, but like it was, you know, in the kind of the dead center in the lower, rows, it was pretty filled in. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. I went at 9:30 PM last night, Saturday night, and it was packed.
Oh, I would imagine that's a prime time. Oh, it was packed.
And it was weird. It was weird because like all of my other movie experiences, even Shang-Chi was like very muted.
Mm.
And this was the first time in a long time since February of 2019 when I went to go see Birds of Prey that the place was packed and it was buzzing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was buzzing, and then people started talking, and then someone turned around and was like, hey, it'd be really great if you just shut the F up.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it was kind of like, it's kind of like, yeah, we're in that time.
Yeah, I know.
You know, people just aren't having it anymore. No. It's like we've been solo. Yeah.
Was there any burping or flatulence in your...
No. Thankfully not.
Yeah. I mean, Shang-Chi, for me, the theater was packed, but they weren't selling the whole theater.
Yeah.
So like they had everybody.
It's funny. It's like a different time.
Yeah,
like,
they had everybody packed into like one main section of the theater of the auditorium. So, but that was packed. And then when I went to see Venom, was very light. It was like hardly anybody in the theater.
Yeah.
Even though it made more money than Shang-Chi and Bond was, but again, Venom and Bond I went to see in the premium format.
Right.
So it was like $7 more per ticket.
Right.
So those were fairly light, but this one was better. Mm. I had, I wound up in a row just by coincidence that had like a little bit of like a wall in front of us, like a divider, and a lot of leg room. So like, I didn't see all of the people like throughout the whole movie, but like walking into the theater and like just kind of seeing people coming up the stairs and stuff like, and then obviously when I was on my way out. It was, I would say that auditorium was probably at least 75 to 80% full.
Wow.
You know, just by quick glance, maybe even more, actually. Because what I did was I walked down to, during the, for the, not the mid-credits scene, but the post-credits scene. Like, I walked down and kind of watched it from, like, the doorway. Because I wanted to make a quick exit. And it, yeah, I remember it was like, wow, there's a lot of people in here, especially for, like I said, a Saturday morning. And, you know, not a lot of kids, obviously. That was like adults that were there at 10:40 in the morning going to see this thing. So I guess we might as well talk about the movie. So, I mean, I know for me, I'd already mentioned this, that I was not excited about this movie.
Yeah.
Right. Like these are not characters that I was familiar with. It's not a story that I was familiar with. And unlike other movies that fell into those categories, like Guardians of the Galaxy or Shang-Chi, where I didn't really know much about the characters, the marketing did nothing to kind of sell me on this movie and get me excited.
Right.
And I want to say that when I left the theater, I was pretty much in the same place. Like I did not hate the movie, but I didn't feel like it was a particularly interesting or exciting movie. Like I just kind of left the theater saying like, okay, you know, I saw it. I don't necessarily feel like I need to see these characters again. And I don't really care how they integrate into the MCU. And like, that was it. So it's like the movie didn't, it kind of matched the marketing for me.
Right.
So it was almost in some ways what I expected it to be. Although I will say that it's the one surprise for me was that it was actually a little funnier than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it was definitely, they had some jokes.
Yeah, like, cause I was kind of sold on this. Oh, this is very different from, everyone keeps saying, oh, it's so different from every Marvel. And I was like, I don't really think it's that much different. Like visually,
I'm gonna let you keep on because,
like,
because I I kind of feel like it is for what it's worth. Like, yes, the jokes and like the.
Well, even the visuals, like
for lack of a better word, the blueprint.
Right. I mean, to me, like the. I mean, look, there are differences. It's certainly not like every Marvel movie that's ever been made. There clearly are differences, but like for me, like when I looked at it, like it's like okay, there's jokes in this, a lot of jokes. It's visually, I felt like there were things that almost were like things we've seen in a lot of other movies. Like I didn't think this movie, which surprised me, I did not actually think that this movie stood out visually at all to me. Like I felt like it looked very pedestrian in a lot of ways. And I think part of that is because like we've seen a lot of this stuff in Marvel films already. Like there is zero new ground broken in this movie visually. And I kind of thought that that's what we were going to get. Like a lot of the, like we've seen stuff, elements of like the effects in this movie that in Doctor Strange, in Iron Man, in Black Panther, right? I mean, there's a lot of technology and a lot of powers and a lot of things that we've seen, even in Shang-Chi.
I disagree.
These heroes were supposed to be like the first superheroes and they've inspired a lot of the mythology. I get that. But I'm just talking about like visually, like they're using stuff that reminds me of Doctor Strange and they're doing stuff like there's one point where like rings go on the one guy's arm and he uses it for like power. And I'm
you're right.
So it's like
Makari.
Yeah, it's like visually, like there wasn't. I was expect because everything I've seen, even for people who didn't really necessarily like the movie, was that oh my god, it looks amazing. And I honestly didn't think it looked. I thought that the deviants looked stupid. And I didn't think they were effective at all. They were kaiju, and from what I understand, that's not what they're like in the comics. I know that like when the one eventually turns into like more of like a humanoid,
that's more of what they look like.
And that was much more interesting. And I almost wish that they would have given us more of that because that was cool. And, as far as the actual, like the Avengers, as far as the Eternals themselves, like I thought that, Kumail Nanjiani's character was really interesting. Loved him. I want that movie. Like, I want to see him be, like, actor by day, hero by night. I want to see that Secret Warriors or whatever movie with whatever that movie was he was making. I want to see that movie within a movie. Like, I want to see that. Like, that I really found interesting. I thought the Fastest character was interesting. I liked him. And, again, I could have seen more of that.
Are we getting into spoilers?
Might as well. Yeah.
We should. Okay. Yeah. So if you guys haven't seen this movie and want to avoid any spoilers, please bow out now.
So like I thought that stuff was interesting. And I actually for the like the 2 seconds that he's in the movie, I thought that Kit Harington's Dane character was kind of interesting. But he's barely
that post credit scene is pretty
clearly he's
I mean, they're building him
got
up.
Got more to do. And that's cool. Like, I'm actually excited about him in that role. So like, that seems like it could be cool. But again, it's not much in this. Icarus did. I disliked that character tremendously and not in the ways that I guess I was supposed to. Like, I disliked him even when he was a good guy in the movie.
I dislike him because I don't like that dude.
I know you don't like the actor. I mean,
it was really easy. I was like, oh, yeah, I knew you were going to.
I did get a chuckle.
Sorry, I knew you were going to turn heel.
I got a chuckle out of the fact that, Jon Snow and Robb Stark are talking to a character named Cersei that they're in love with. That I got a kick out of. You know, so that I enjoyed. But I mean, overall, I know I did like it just sounded like really negative, but like I didn't dislike it though. Like I just thought that it was like there. To me, it's not as bad as like Thor: The Dark World.
No. What about Captain Marvel?
You know, Captain Marvel, I was very indifferent towards.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the third act of Captain Marvel. And I don't know that there was
when she powers up.
Yeah. And I don't know that there was a moment in this movie. This movie, at times, is more entertaining, but it's also very, very slow at other times. And slow in ways. That's the one thing I will say that's different. This movie is slow in ways that a lot of Marvel films are not.
That is the thing that stands out from my perspective, and that's what makes it different is the pacing of it.
Yes.
It's very slow.
Yes.
It is. The jokes are, they're there, and then they kind of get right back on track yep. with like this melodrama. Yes. Stuff and that felt very different because it felt less comic booky, if that makes any sense.
Yes, and I think that the concept and the characters lend themselves to that. Yeah.
The character of Makari I thought was dope.
Great, yeah. Oh, but barely in the movie.
No, I mean, and this is the thing. This is where I disagree with you on the point of things that we've never seen before. I've never seen a speedster do stuff like that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, she's barely in the movie.
Right, but when she is in the movie, yeah. she kicks ass.
Oh, sure. And
it's phenomenal
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I could watch a movie with her running yes. around the world, and the way that they shot that.
Yes.
And, like, her just laying into Icarus, I thought that was fire.
And she has
pure fire.
She has great charisma.
Yeah. Her eyes.
Yeah.
She's a great actress.
Great. Yeah. And again, the representation in this movie is great.
See, and that's the other thing too about this movie. So like when I was watching it, I was like, okay, this is for me it was a very different film. I was like, I'm unfamiliar with it, so I'm expecting the script to kind of walk me through who these characters are, why I should care. And I kind of got it. And then towards when the reveal is made that they are essentially supposed to help another celestial be born, I'm like, yeah, they are blowing the door off of this this cosmic stuff.
Yes.
Big time. Like, this is the stepping block to opening the world into this big cosmic stuff that we haven't touched yet. What was I going to say? What we were just talking about. I just lost my train of thought.
Talking about the representation.
Representation, yes. When I walked out of that film, I was like, man, Marvel in film is doing what they did in comic books. Like, there was a lot of, like, taboo stuff
mm-hmm.
in this movie.
Yeah.
I say taboo.
Well.
But, like, taboo for a comic
correct.
Book movie.
Yeah.
Like, the love scene.
Right, which is really not.
I've never seen that shit before.
No, but it's not much, too.
No, like, it isn't. But I was like, okay.
It's still very much like, okay.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wait, is that a nipple? No. The relationships stuff was very different. Mm-hmm. What I expected to see, and like they just kind of blew the lid off of a lot of things, and I was like, this is great, you know, like I applaud them for taking that risk, that taking that chance, and like actually being bold,
yeah,
and saying like, you know, we're gonna address some stuff here,
and I like the fact that they did it in a very natural way,
yeah,
like it's not forced, it's not like they don't make a spectacle, it's just like it's the way it should be, like it's just natural,
yeah.
like
you would imagine just like, oh hey, this is my
yep.
gay friend, and he has, you know, him and his husband have a son,
yeah,
cool, all
yeah.
right, you know, it's like, no, oh hey, are you in the closet, when did you come out, you know, it's like not that whole thing, it's like, no, this is just who he is, mm-hmm. and like, and he yeah. makes a point of saying it in, you know, like in a subtle way about like, this is who I am. This
yeah.
is what I'm going to be. You know what I mean? This is what I'm going to be. I'm not going to be anything else. And I love that. I thought that was really good. You know, in terms of the way some of the stuff was, the film was shot, like, you know, Chloe Zhao's got, she got an eye. There's some really, really good stuff in there. Specifically when she's framing like Icarus and Cersei together, there was a lot of stuff that I'm like, I've never seen this kind of filmmaking in a Marvel film. And I'm glad that she was able to kind of express some of that in herself, like in the film. So like that felt a little different to me. It didn't feel popcorny. And I'm not,
no, this is not a popcorn movie.
Any of the other Marvel films, but like,
yeah,
it felt like above bar a bit. And,
yeah.
And that might be the thing that's not hitting people. I think people's expectations are going in with like, it's a Marvel film. It's going to connect to Loki. It's going to, and it does none of that.
No.
This is a very different off the beaten path type of Marvel film.
But here's the, but this was one issue that I did have with it though. Obviously it is in the, it's part of the MCU clearly.
Right.
And you know, we've all been wondering, you know, well, how are they going to explain why they didn't get involved in the Infinity War and, mm-hmm. and all of that stuff, blah, blah, blah. And they actually have a scene, which is, I thought was a little on the nose, where like...
Oh, Salma Hayek's Ajax character?
No, Dane, isn't it Kit Harington's character that actually asked the question? Somebody literally...
he puts it right out in the beginning
yeah,
of the
movie. Yeah, he asked the question. He's like, what, where the hell were... Like, really? And like, that's like kind of the... You know, it's almost like he's taking the place of the audience. And they give an explanation that like, well, we're not to get involved in human conflict. Mm. We're only here to like, you know, unless it involves like the deviants. And I'm thinking to myself, like, as this movie goes on and you hear about like the plot and what ultimately this thing is about and all that stuff, I'm thinking to myself, like, that makes no sense. The Infinity War was not a human conflict.
Yeah,
Thanos is not human. Many of the Avengers are not like that were involved in that. There were people that were not human in that. Like this was a universal conflict where Thanos was literally trying to wipe out half of the universe, right? Not Earth, not humans. Half of the universe, and once you find out like what the actual plan was, like it makes even less sense because why would you want if your whole point was to try to get the numbers up? So that you could eventually get to this point where this new celestial will be born. Like, why would you want to step back like that and lose half of the population? Like, none of that made sense. And I was just like, look, the Infinity War was not a, and then they're even talking about Thanos, like in the movie. And it's like, that was not a human conflict. Mm. There's a big difference between the Infinity War and, or even like what they dealt with technically in like Avengers and stuff like that. And a traditional, and first of all, Thor is not human.
Right.
Right? Like in the sense of like, I mean, when he's a god. So like, I didn't get that. Like that reasoning is like, probably should have thought that one through maybe a little bit more because it still doesn't make any sense.
I mean, you could find a way around it. I think like, the fact that they're how humans deal with that could be some, I don't know.
Could be. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that too, because that was the other thing. It's like a lot of this is like, this movie is, I think, really trying to be like an intimate story about like relationships and human.
Yeah.
These people are, these people, whatever they are, right? These Eternals are. It's like the Pinocchio thing almost, right? And they actually literally do that at the end, right? With the sprite character.
Yeah.
They do the Pinocchio thing where it's like they're becoming human because they've been here for thousands of years. And that's a major theme. I would have probably been more invested in that if we had seen them have more actual human interaction.
Right. Could they only do it through the lens of Cersei?
Right. And it's
right,
and
where she's like having these experiences and helping people like farm.
I mean, look, and we see Faustus, we understand he has his family and he has his relationship or whatever. So we get that. But like we don't really get to see
Ajax on a farm.
Yeah. Like it would be great to have actually like And I would have actually, considering the movie's 2 hours and 37 minutes long, like, it's odd because you mentioned pacing. Like, this movie drags. To me, it dragged for large portions. But at the same time, like, a lot is happening. It's really weird. Yeah. I can't really explain it because, like, it drags, but there's still a lot going on.
And the thing is that, at least to me, I hear you on that point. It stuck with me, though. there was like a lot of like it was a lot of context and like color and you know, and then I'm like, oh, okay, let me think on that a little bit, and I'm like, that makes sense, okay. So it was not like fluffy.
No, nice. Absolutely not. Like,
it wasn't fluffy.
That's what I mean, and that's what's weird about it. But I almost feel like I would have preferred to have a little bit more time. Like, I would have been more invested, I think, in the Icarus turn or whatever you want to call what he does. If we got more time to see, like, what happened between him and Circe? Like,
yeah, why he left.
Yeah, well, like,
I mean, he kind of alludes to it, but yeah.
Yeah, like, let's see that relationship develop a little bit. Let's see, you know, like, let's see, because that, needless to say, like, he actually, I thought he became kind of a cool villain. Right?
Yeah.
Like when he turned, like to me, like the stuff that I thought was cool, like I almost feel like almost every element of this movie that I thought was cool and I was into did not get enough time. Like I said, like I loved the Kumail Nanjiani character. I liked Fastus. I liked that they didn't, and Makari, they didn't get enough time, a lot of time in this movie, but they had cool moments. Yeah. And I liked Icarus as like when he turns and he becomes the villain. And I liked that, right. But again, that's brief. And then
even the deviant,
and the deviant that's like the humanoid, that was cool. But that's like that's barely a blip, right, in the movie. And then, exactly. No pun intended, actually. And then we get, but like when Icarus is the way they, defeat him, right, for lack of a better term. That just fell flat to me because it's like, man, like really? Like you turned him into this really cool, badass villain who doesn't seem to give a crap about humanity. And it's like all of a sudden now love is what defeats him. Like,
well, because he, so here's the thing. So in that I say is he's trying to deny his own humanity.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And love ultimately is the thing that
absolutely. Yeah, I totally get the subtext of it, and it fits within a lot of the theme of the movie. But at the same time, it's like, ugh. I don't know. It just was like.
Well, I mean, if you say that, then Sprite's turn doesn't make any sense either, right?
No, it's not that it didn't make sense. It made sense. It's just that. I just felt it. It felt flat to me because it was like, oh, really? Like he was cool. Like I would have rather have seen him either like live on to fight another day.
Be the badass.
Yeah, like live on to fight another day.
Yeah.
Or like,
just turn full on Vader.
Well, even if he doesn't turn full on Vader, but like he does something where like. He just, I don't know. There was probably a way to do it for me. I guess it's just me,
Yeah.
Where like he could have just maybe on his own.
He submits emotionally.
Submits emotionally, gets conflicted, and just maybe flies off.
Yeah.
And like they do their thing. Rather than the whole like the flashbacks to them being like, I don't know. That to me was just a little melodramatic for me in that moment. Because I thought everything leading up to that was kind of cool.
Well, you know, to me, what that said, and obviously, and you know, we get the subtext here, but it's her love of Earth started from the beginning.
Yes. Yeah.
And his love for her started in the beginning.
Right.
So
yeah,
they're intertwined.
Sure.
Great.
And even the Sprite thing, though, like for me, like that to me was kind of like, I don't want to say it came out of nowhere, but it was like, oh, like all of a sudden it's like. Oh, no fair. Like, I get to be like a... I never
it
get to...
It becomes one of those things where you've got so many different characters.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they all deserve their shine.
Yes.
You can only spend so much time developing your main characters that the rest of the guys get the, you know, the short end of the stick. That's what it is.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that exactly. But...
I was half expecting, like, some Avengers people to pop up in this.
Oh, really?
I totally was.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
With the celestial head and hand sticking out of the ocean.
Right.
Like, for someone to be like, oh, shit, what is that? You know, like, did we not know that this was happening?
I mean, I'm sure, look, that's always been one of the issues with these like cinematic universe concepts, right? Is that,
yeah, it's like you can't escape the fact that we all think that people are within a stone's throw away.
Yes,
but they're obviously not.
It's one thing to come up with a reason, whether it's convoluted or not, for why Eternals have stayed out of everything, right?
Mm.
Or at least these major things. It's another thing to try to explain why literally the world is about to end.
And nobody shows
nobody
up.
Seems to know or care.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by it. It was weird because it's such like an intimate film in many ways. And it's very isolated.
It's on its own island.
But the scope, I think, is almost beyond that.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah. That was weird to me. Like, and there's a great story there. Like, but if the world is like literally about to end, it's kind of hard to invest in that when you're not seeing the rest of the world and you're not seeing like the impact that's
having.
It's
funny because yes, and like they did this, you know, they did this thing as like, oh, we're in London, which for all of us in the United States feels like it's so far away.
Right.
And then, you know, this stuff starts to happen and they, you know, we automatically go, oh, it was so far away, it didn't happen. But like to your point, it's like the world's going to end. Like literally this being is emerging from the depths of the earth.
Right.
And there are no Avengers.
And we don't get to see any, like, again, we don't get to see like anything. Like, you know, it's weird.
I wonder if there's going to be some additional reaction.
Oh, there might be.
There should be.
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that they will reference this.
Yeah. Like, you know, like Jane Foster is doing something and that's how she ends up. I don't know. Who the hell knows?
Sure.
To me, there were some things where I forget the master plan is in full effect here.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, it's like Kevin Feige's master plan and that he has already planted the seeds that need to be.
Sure.
So in the next 5 years. So it's like, okay, yeah, I know you got this because like the the Stringer trailers or Stringer moments, the post credits scenes, I should say, are crazy.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Absolutely bananas because again, I think the one with Eros.
With Harry Styles,
yeah,
Patton Oswalt
getting like chucked out. I'm like, what is?
By the way, the CGI on that was a little
wonky.
Yeah,
a little wonky.
That had a whole different feel. Like that almost had a Guardians of the Galaxy.
And I think that, and you know what? To be honest, that's probably who directed that scene.
You think?
Maybe.
I mean, it totally did.
Like, the mood changed.
It doesn't it ties into Eternals, though. It doesn't.
It does tie into Eternals. Obviously, brother of Thanos.
Yes.
And Pip has a connection to Adam Warlock.
Sure, which obviously.
And he's going to Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So, I mean, that's the thread there. Who knows if it's going to come to fruition. And then the other post-credit scene.
Yes.
With the Black Knight, which is the payoff for the Black Knight.
Yes, that got me excited.
But it's also a payoff for somebody else.
Yes, it is.
Which I was like, the moment I heard that voice, I'm like, is it Sam Jackson? And if it was Sam Jackson, why didn't they just show Sam Jackson?
Yes.
So I was like, who is that? Google it. Go, oh shit, Marshall Ali.
Yes, it's Blade. Yeah,
it's Blade.
Yeah, and that's
like,
exciting.
That, to me, I'm like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that I am. It is ironic that I came out of this movie. The most thing I'm most excited about coming out of this movie is the Black Knight character, and Kit Harington playing him, because I like him. I'm a fan of his. And I thought he was good in like the 5 minutes that he's in this movie. But that's weird, right? That the thing I was the most excited about. And whatever he could be doing with Blade, like, that had me more excited than anything that happened in the movie itself.
Yeah, when they said, oh, the Eternals will return, I was kind of like, yeah, okay, fine. I mean,
right. You assume they're going to return because the movie kind of ends on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I'm like, they just disappear.
Yeah.
And then the other ones are looking for them, and then Harry Styles gets thrown into the mix, and you know that he's like, I know where to find them. I'm like, okay. So yeah, I'm you know. If I were to put this thing down, it's probably like a 6.5.
Yeah, I would probably be anywhere between a 5 and a 6.
Yeah.
Probably closer to 6 than 5. And you know what? That means we're both pretty much in line with where the critics are.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's that it's... To your point, I had no expectations walking into this either.
No.
You know, I wasn't like stoked about it. I wasn't like, oh my God, it's going to be an amazing film. Because to me, you're right. There are some things that I've seen before. I've seen a flying man who shoots shit out of his eyes. We should probably talk about the Zack Snyder stuff.
What's Zack Snyder stuff?
Have you heard about it, all this stuff? On social media?
Somehow does Zack Snyder get Chloe got involved, but
said
right
in her interview that her inspiration for Icarus was Zack Snyder's Superman.
Okay, I get it.
Oh,
I can see
my
that.
Gosh. You know, Zack Snyder's blueprint of Superman is like in the MCU, blah, 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 blah. Like, stop.
Kind of reminded me of Homelander, to be honest with
stop.
You. More than Henry Cavill's Superman.
Exactly. Exactly. Like a piece of shit.
Only because cocky. Like Henry Cavill's Superman was not like Icarus, even when he's being, well, when he's supposed to be like a good guy.
No, whatever, he's a dick.
He's right. He's still like he seems like he's too cool for the room. He knows he's better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Like that to me is more Homeland, but he thinks he's doing the right thing. For the greater Homelander? Good. To me, that's Homelander more than... Not that... I mean, the Eternals predate the boys, so don't get me wrong. But, I mean, right. If we're looking at, like, modern takes and stuff, like, that's more Homelander to me than it is Henry Cavill's or Zack Snyder's Superman or whatever.
Yeah.
Because Henry Cavill's Superman was not a dick. I mean, he was... It was a kind of a more grounded take on the character, and it was... darker, like the color palette was darker. And yeah, he snaps the neck, but even that wasn't done because he's a dick who thinks he's better. Like at no point really did that ever come through to me. But now, I mean, if she said she used it, okay, great. I mean, look, people have to remember that, you know, she's born in Beijing and she's only 39 years old. So it's not like she grew up watching and reading Superman.
Right.
You know, like in a lot of ways, like the Zack Snyder, Man of Steel and stuff was really like a lot of, I think, around the world, it was, you know, there were places where like that was kind of an introduction to that character in a lot of ways. And it was the first, I would say, very different take on the character in live action.
Right.
So sure, I could completely see where that would want to. Well, I don't know. Why did that break the internet?
I don't know. Because it's Zack Snyder.
But like, you know, in what sense? Was it because people
and
like
look at Marvel, you know, look at Marvel taking cues from like the greatest director that ever lived.
Oh, got it. Okay, oh, whatever.
That kind of
shit.
I mean,
that's
you
just,
know.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. Marvel stealing stuff from DC. Okay, guys.
I mean, they even referenced Superman in
Superman,
the movie.
Yeah.
Which was funny. I mean.
And Batman.
And Batman, yeah.
And let's not forget that... that Jack Kirby created the New Gods as well as the Eternals. So, pause.
Right.
Anyways, you know.
My thing with this movie is I'm going to be curious to see. Now, because I will watch it again. So I'm not in the theater. But at some point, I will watch this movie again. And I'd be interested to see if my reaction changes. You know, at all. Is this a movie that, cause I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like as I sit here now, you know, a day, almost 2 days after having seen it, like like, I don't, I mean, we're having this discussion here, so it's bringing up things, and I'm having to, like, kind of micro-analyze the movie, right? But, like, as I've sat here for the last couple of days, like, there hasn't been, there aren't things that I've been passionate about with this movie, like, either way, positive or negative. So I feel like there's almost room for me, like, if I do rewatch this, to sit there and say, like, oh, hey, maybe this works more for me.
Yeah.
Like, on a second viewing. Because there isn't anything, there were things that I didn't necessarily like, I shouldn't even, don't even want to say like. There were things that I thought were a little like, eh, whatever, that, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, there wasn't anything where I was like, I absolutely hated that.
Yeah.
Or I absolutely, and there wasn't anything that I was like, I absolutely love that.
Right.
So, like, there are certainly things that a second viewing could work more for me, you know?
Yeah. The stuff I absolutely loved was, again, you said it was super short, as Macari's whole scene. Like,
yeah, I mean, a lot of the things
That whole bit, man.
Right.
Where she is just dogging him.
Right. And that's...
Even before that, when he's like, oh, here, you know, go look for the convergence.
Yeah. And I think
she's zipping around the world.
That's why I say,
my dad's dope.
That's why I say when I think that I might like this movie more on second viewing is because, like, the things that I did like that I didn't feel like we got enough of, like, I might be able to, like, I will still like those things, right?
Yeah.
On the second viewing. And I think I might be able to, having seen the whole movie and seeing how the story lays out and all of that stuff and understanding, you know, that it's whatever. I might just enjoy, I just have, this is a movie that I'm not going to, like, avoid
right
for the rest of my life. It's not one that I'll be watching regularly, but I think I'll probably watch it more than I watched Captain Marvel or certainly, you know, like a movie like Thor the Dark World, which I, you know, didn't like at all.
I've only seen Captain Marvel like 1.5 times.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way.
And I've only seen Thor the Dark World once.
Yeah, I saw Thor the Dark World in the theater.
I tried to watch it again.
No, it's not good.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. Yeah.
So, I mean, and look, there's more. This movie certainly has more to think about and to sink your teeth into than like an Ant-Man movie, right?
I mean, 100%.
You know, whether like, you like feel said, like it's the Ant-Man, yeah, whether you feel like the Ant-Man movies maybe were more entertaining. Okay, that's different. I mean, they're different conversation, but like I feel like there's at least more to digest with this movie, and that's why I think it's definitely worth rewatching. Yeah. Because I want to try to, especially now having like heard your perspective on it and seeing other people's perspectives on it, like I'd be curious to kind of rewatch it and just see, because there is a lot to take in.
Yeah. I mean, that to me was like super meat on the bone. You gotta chew it up. All of the scenes too, you know, the flashback scenes and how they make their marks and how they become sort of establishments in history.
Yeah.
Gilgamesh. I loved all
actually
that.
Gilgamesh was cool too.
Gilgamesh was a badass.
Yeah.
And I loved the connection, even though Angelina Jolie has like 15 lines maybe.
Well, kind of the way the character was.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the dark silent type. The connection between her and Gilgamesh was awesome.
Yeah.
I love that too. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. There is a lot. It is a lot to take in. I almost feel like this might have been better off as like a Disney Plus series.
Interesting.
Because.
Very interesting.
Because. Like you could have gotten, let's just say it was 8 episodes, right? You would have been able to get, like, they could have given us some episodes, like, focusing on some of the characters in, not every one of them, but, like, maybe some of them, and that they could have incorporated their flashbacks in with, because one of the things I wasn't crazy about was how they chose to their narrative structure, where it was like, it would jump randomly. Yeah. And so, like, I feel like if you had it like as a show, like, you could have focused on this character, gone, give us a little bit of their flashback, give us the present day, kind of flesh them out a little bit more, give us some of that motivation. Like, I think it would have worked better because there's a lot of story here.
Yeah.
Almost like too much story I think to,
well, it sets up. It's all about setting up the characters without necessarily, like, you get to do it in multiples. It's not just like a one and done thing. So like Druid, for example, that whole scene with Cortez destroying the Incan Empire. You get to see where his perspective is, right? But yes. Then Ajax has her perspective, and everyone kind of like, it's like, oh, let me step up to the plate and say my piece, and like, now you know where I stand on this thing, and then like, oh, and then we're gonna throw in, this is why we break up,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it was, and I get it, because it's a lot,
yeah,
and so many people, so many
different... And then she dies.
Yeah,
and then where she's back because of the flashbacks, yeah, and then we find out that, you know, it was Ikora and all that stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that happened in a wacky order.
Yeah,
your brain has to keep going bouncing around, which is not necessarily a bad thing, right? Because it keeps you, and maybe that's why, for as long as and kind of as much as it drags, maybe that's why I, at no point did I like find it an uncomfortable watch.
Yeah,
because I think because your brain has to bounce around so much because it's like, oh, we're here now. Oh,
well,
okay.
And then, not only that, with like Ajax and all of a sudden she's like standing at the Gardens of Babylon. And then all of a sudden she's like, I'm going to talk to whatever his name is. Kesh.
Oh,
Arishem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever his name is. All of a sudden that orb is glowing in her neck. And she's like having this conversation, which I thought was like, see, like that kind of stuff. We've never seen that shit before, which is crazy. But yeah, you know, the whole concept of Celestials, I'm like, wow, this is some deep shit that Marvel's about to unfold on us. And that's the kind of stuff that's getting that, like, I get it. You know, I get why this movie was a necessary evil in a way. Because we've got a lot of big baddies out there in the galaxy that you know, I'd love to see, and heroes, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
bring on the Silver Surfer.
I assume that, I assume that clearly they wouldn't have made this movie, right? If this wasn't going to.
Yeah,
become a big part of something, you know. So yeah. I guess we'll have to see. You mentioned in the beginning though that people are talking about how the movie changed their opinion with their second viewing.
People are like, so they're going. It's a flip. It's like I didn't appreciate this until I saw it the second time, or like the second viewing is way better for me.
I could see that.
You know, yeah, who knows? We were talking about word of mouth. I don't, you know, maybe that's the way things, who knows? People aren't going to be spending money twice to go to the movies to see it if it doesn't hit the first time, unless you're like a critic or you're diehard.
Mm.
Mainstream audiences aren't going back twice. But, you know, we'll see how it shakes out next week.
Yeah.
Look, I'll tell you this. Its performance this weekend is a sure thing for part two, so it is what it is. It's coming.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been interesting. I mean, the way this movie ends, you almost had to have given it a part two.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it did come in opening weekend on the low end of projections. And the word of mouth, again, doesn't look like it's going to be great based on, you know, CinemaScore and things like the audience metrics.
Yeah, it's a risk. I mean, I think people, you know.
But I also blame that a lot on the marketing. I don't think that now, again, I know in the beginning I said that I wasn't interested in the movie going into it and really wasn't that much interested in it coming out of it. But so I guess it's hard to market. But I mean, there have been far worse movies than this that I've seen marketed well.
Right.
That made it look interesting. And then it's watch the movie and you're like, ugh, that was
yeah,
crap.
The focus is also different. The focus is a lot on Ikora in the marketing.
Yeah.
Less on Cersei.
And Ajax. Selma Hayek's character.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised when I watched it too. Yeah, that
Johnny should
to see how their roles kind of fit. I mean, this is Cersei's movie.
Yeah, this is
whole, it's her whole story, thing. Really.
Yeah.
And yeah. You're right. Like that was not
I mean, Kevin Feige said it. She's the lead.
Right, but that wasn't I mean,
but that's not in the scene. You're like, all right, Feige, whatever you say about it.
And not only that, but that's not what mainstream audiences are seeing, right?
No. Especially not. They're not listening to interviews with Kevin Feige. They're right. Like, who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know when it's going to hit Disney Plus. Probably sooner than later.
Yeah, the end of this week? Shang-Chi and.
Yeah. On whole bunch of Friday, other Shang-Chi, yeah.
I can't wait to see Shang-Chi again. Yeah. Oh, man. I can't, that's my Friday watch when it drops.
You know, speaking of, by the way, just so as we're talking, they just released a few minutes ago the Spider-Man No Way Home poster.
Okay.
And
check this sucker out.
The Spider-Man No Way Home official account, Twitter account says, go ahead, zoom in on all those details. So I'm doing that, and obviously you could see like the Green Goblin, which looks like it's the Raimi Green Goblin goofy outfit, unfortunately, in the background on the flying in. And
oh, I see it with the,
you can see the sand, right, from the Sandman, and you see the electricity from Electro, and obviously Doc Ock's are prominent. I'm sure there might be other things maybe deep in here. I don't know. I'm not going to, I mean, we have, I'll check it out more later once we start doing this. So that's that.
That's cool. That's fine. He's just standing there in Spider-Man position.
Yeah. So,
whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Switching gears now to Star Wars.
Oh, right? Yeah.
We had the Book of Boba Fett trailer came out, and that just looks like everything I needed it to be. That I can't wait for that.
I am beyond stoked.
Yeah.
For that. I love the fact that he grew his eyebrows back. Pretty cool.
Yep.
Assuming he's been taking some baths and a back to tank. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, I always thought the concept when they ended the Mandalorian was cool. You know, he kind of takes over Jabba's throne, takes it from Bib Fortuna.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm stoked to see how they, how he establishes himself as a sort of underworld boss. But he's doing it in a way that is, I don't know, honorable, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? So
right, as honorable as it could be anyway.
As can be, yeah. And you know, again, it's getting this character to live up to all those expectations of him being like this badass dude.
Yeah.
And it certainly seems like they're doing that. I love that he's back with Fennec. And they're going to be kind of like kicking ass and meeting people, and again, it's all those background characters that I've loved seeing have like main storylines and like get some more screen time. You know, being pushed front and center. So, hey, Book of Boba Fett, right around the corner. Believe Absolutely. It or not. So,
and we haven't had a chance to talk about the Morbius trailer. Which dropped, and I got to tell you, I actually thought this trailer looked cool. This again is not a character that I'm like necessarily. If you had asked me name a whole bunch of characters that you'd love to see like a movie based on, it would have been a long time before I got to Morbius.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more familiar with Morbius because of Spider-Man the Animated Series from the 90s, yes. Right?
Yeah.
But I thought it looked pretty cool. I mean, you know, again, this is marketing actually working because it's getting me more interested in something that I normally probably wouldn't have had a lot of interest in. Mm. You know, they still have a little work to do, but, I thought it looked cool. I thought it looked interesting.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
For me. I'm like, okay. Yeah, that's more than I was expecting to see.
Yeah.
It still confuses the shit out of me. I don't know what I mean, obviously he's set in the Venom universe.
Well, right, because they reference that thing in San Francisco.
Right.
But then,
it's confusing me.
Michael this Keaton pops up, right, as Adrian Toomes, we assume, right?
It's kind of messing my head up, if I'm being honest with you. It's like my consistency thing.
Well,
continuity thing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's also, I mean, well, I guess we'll have to see what this Spider-Man universe is like, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after No Way Home.
Yeah.
You know, and what kind of effect, if any, it has on the Sony side. I guess, I mean, technically it's all the Sony side, but you know what I mean. The Sony exclusive side. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It's not a movie yet that I'm like, I got to go see it in theaters.
Well, I mean, I'm not, losing my mind right now, but like, I'm certainly much more interested in it now than I would have been, you know, pre-seeing the trailer. So yeah. You know, it's funny, speaking of kind of Marvel, and I went down a rabbit hole this morning. Mm. You know, X-Men First Class debut finally.
Oh, it just dropped on Disney Plus.
It did, and it's in 4K, so I, even though I've seen the movie a million times, I decided to throw it on because I still love that movie. And I watched it, and I still love it.
Great movie.
But as I was finished with it, you know, it gives you like recommendations, like, so you know, for people who've watched X-Men First Class might be interested in, and Dark Phoenix popped up.
Oh boy.
And I realized I have not seen it.
You still, oh, you haven't seen that?
No. So oh, I boy. Threw it on, and man, that, now, not that I kind of expected anything less, but that is a mess.
Yeah. That movie is such a dumpster.
Wow.
Fire.
Like, that movie feels like it's like a direct to video.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels cheap. And like, it looks cheap, and it's, man, I mean, again, I didn't, not that I was expecting anything great, but like when you know a movie, you know, most people feel like a movie completely sucks, and then you actually finally watch it, and yes, it does in fact completely suck. It still is like, wow, this is, man, if I had seen that in theaters, man, would I have been agitated. Whew. Yeah. Thank God that ended, because, you know, let's see what Marvel Studios does with these characters, but that needed to end.
Yeah. It's instantly forgettable.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you anything that happens other than I only remember the first part of the movie where she gets, you know, gets the Phoenix powers.
Which is very underwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to save these guys from space. Great. We're now in the 90s, and we're wearing like these old ass jumpsuits and stuff. I was so turned off. And then Jessica Chastain's character, this albino, I don't even remember what happened with her, what the deal was with her.
Dude, it's worse than X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Which is hard to accomplish.
Yeah, because that movie, that's also very, very bad.
Yeah.
It was on X-Men Origins Wolverine level bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I told you, I'm like, I don't even know how it's finished. I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, it's bad. Boy.
Yeah. That's pretty bad. The one that's on my list to watch, which I still have not gotten to, is New Mutants.
Yeah, you know, I was.
It's like on the queue, and I'm like, do I feel like wasting my time today?
Only reason why I watched this one was because of the fact that it's like, well, it's the only one of the proper X-Men universe that I have not seen, and because I don't consider New Mutants part of that, really. It's like, so I might as well just at least let me see how this thing ended. I know it. Let's see how bad it really is, type of thing. And yeah, and it is. It's bad. So that's that. I never have to watch that again. Yeah.
I just, and I'm so surprised that all of those actors who are great, specifically Fassbender and McAvoy, read that script and were like, yeah, we're definitely going to come back.
Well, no, I mean, that reeked of contractual obligation.
Yeah, of course.
Like, the whole time I'm watching McAvoy and especially Fassbender in that movie,
he's like phoning it in.
I'm like, man, this is just, they should have just had contractual obligation written on their heads.
First Class.
Yes.
And you watch that bar scene in Argentina.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
You know, you see that shit, or even like, you know, the slow moving coin right through what's his face?
Kevin Bacon, Sebastian Shaw's head. Yeah.
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 And then he's just like, ah, I gotta scream and throw this helicopter. Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I remember that part.
Yeah, you sure did. Oh,
oh God, that's such a bad movie.
It is.
Glad it's bad. Done.
Yeah. So one other thing I mentioned here is that so I've been watching Chucky.
Okay.
So for those of you not, it's on USA and Sci-Fi. It's a joint. I mean, it's owned by the same company, but it's a joint thing, and it's I'm actually really enjoying it. It's basically a direct sequel to Cult of Chucky, which was the last movie in the franchise. And if you haven't seen, so if you're a fan of the Child's Play franchise and you have not seen the last two movies, not the remake, but Curse of Chucky and Cult of Chucky, they're actually really good. Especially Curse. I actually love Curse of Chucky. And this is a direct sequel to that. Now it's four episodes in. We've only had mentions and brief. We've seen very briefly the legacy characters, Alex Vincent, who it was the original Andy, and Fiona Dourif, who played Nika in the last two movies, which is Brad Dourif's daughter, who does the voice of Chucky.
Does the voice of Chucky?
Well, Brad Dourif is the voice of Chucky. His daughter, Fiona Dourif, was the star.
Brad Dourif. He took over to do the voice of Chucky?
What do you mean he took over?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong guy. Wrong Dourif. I'm sorry.
No, you're talking about, Brad Dourif. Yeah, not Steven Dourif.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you said the other dude.
No.
What's his name? The guy that's in Blade. What's his last name? Same sounds familiar. I'm going to get my phone. Because I don't remember his name.
You're talking about Steven Dourif.
There it is.
Yeah, this is Brad Dourif.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Tongue.
So Fiona Dourif is his daughter, and she was the star of the last two Chucky movies, Child's Play movies, whatever. So anyway, she's going to pop up in this, and Alex Vincent's going to pop up in this as Andy, because he's also in the last movie, Cult of Chucky. And, of course, Jennifer Tilly has already popped up in this and will continue to pop in it. So it's cool. It's got its own story, like a group of kids. The one kid, the main character, he's a teenager. He's gay. He's struggling with being gay. And you know, so that's a theme early on. And, you know, Chucky obviously goes on his rampage and whatever. And so now we're getting to the point where, like, we're going to start getting some of these older characters, these other characters coming in, and it's going to tie in a little closer to the movies, which is cool, but it's fun. And it's on late. I think it goes on at like 10. So it doesn't hold back. It's violent. It's bloody. There's cursing. You know, it's like everything it's not like watered down, like horror. It's very much looks and feels like the movies.
Cool.
I highly recommend that if you're fans of the franchise. I've been a fan of that Child's Play franchise with a couple of exceptions, mainly Child's Play 3 and Seed of Chucky. I thought that for the most part, most of those movies are good. And even the remake wasn't that bad. So I... Yeah, so definitely give it a watch if you're into that. I know sometimes when it's a TV show, people are like, "Oh, I don't know," but trust me, this one holds up. This isn't Freddy's Nightmares or Friday the 13th, the series, or anything like that.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's been a while since I've seen Child's Play film. I think I stopped on the third one.
Yeah, and the thing is, they have yet to fully integrate some of the other characters from the movies, so I'm not sure how big a role they're going to play in this series, but if they are, yeah, you really probably should watch at least the last two.
Okay.
Because it'll help, I think. Again, like so far we're four episodes in, and it still mainly has focused on like the group, the main characters for the show.
Gotcha.
So you haven't had to know too much. I mean, unless you, as long as you know the basic story, which you do, obviously, of Chucky.
Yep.
And his thing. And they,
yep,
you know, it also does a backstory of Charles Lee Ray.
Ah.
And it shows like from when he was a kid and stuff and how he becomes what he became. So that's cool too. So actually you're getting, you know, even if you watch like the first couple of movies in the franchise, like you're getting a backstory that we never really got.
Interesting.
Yeah, other than knowing that he was a serial killer and he was killed and then transferred his soul into the doll. Like you actually get right, the backstory of the character, which is interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out. I wish I could say I've been watching some new stuff. I'm actually just introducing my wife to The Sopranos.
Why?
I'm watching that. I mean, why? I mean, we watched a horrible movie called The Saints of Newark.
Oh,
I watched.
Yeah, I got almost through all of that movie, and then just kind of was like, "Eh, I'll watch the rest later," and never did.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? You want to see something that's like a lot better?
Well, I guess, yes. If she's already seen The Many Saints of Newark, then yes, you probably should at least give her that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
just don't show her the last season.
Right.
Just tell her, you know what? They never finished the show. Like it just, we're still waiting. Maybe one day.
It's so funny, man. That is a, last season, that finale hurt.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, I don't know what it is about HBO shows, but like Game of Thrones didn't stick the landing.
Yeah.
Like that whole last season was like,
and Watchmen. That's why you can only just do the Watchmen style.
Watchmen, but that's like, done. Watchmen was a one season limited series, so it didn't have time to shit the bed. But,
What is it? What was that movie with, what's his name? Riz Ahmed.
Oh, no, the day of.
The night of.
The night of.
Night of?
Yeah, I think it was the night of.
Perfect.
Yes. Great.
Yeah.
With John Turturro.
Yeah. Super phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. But yes. But I'll tell you, it's interesting to rewatch that show.
The Sopranos.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Oh, jeez. I haven't watched it since the finale aired.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
And I probably don't even want to know how long ago that was.
Yeah. They still use beepers.
Jeez, yeah.
So, yeah. It's actually an interesting rewatch. She's into it, so let's do it. But we also watch Gladiator.
That was, so hold on, just for the record, that was the last episode aired in 2007.
Jeez.
So, yeah. You watched Gladiator, the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was that her first time?
She had seen it, but she didn't remember anything about it.
Okay.
So that was a purchase because I was like, I own this movie on like hard format. So I was like, let's watch it. And she's like, well, do you want to rent it? I'm like, I'm just going to buy this thing. This is a movie I could watch over and over again.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm watching.
All right. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah, that's mainly been me too. Like I mean, there's not a ton of like, I mean, the new season of Doctor Who started last week, and it's funny because this season's going to be short. It's going to be six episodes and it's going to be one story. in six chapters. So it's almost going to be like a throwback to like classic Who, except longer chapters. And then they're going to do a couple of like feature length, I think three feature length specials next year. And then that's it for Chris Chibnall and Jodie Whittaker. Then they're handing it back to Russell T. Davies, who's going to take over the reins again after he relaunched the show in 2005 and a new doctor. But it's funny. It's ironic because like it's like Chris Chibnall finally figured out Doctor Who. Like he finally figured out how to make, because his first two seasons were like not great. But this so far, these first two episodes have been fantastic of this third season. So it's like it took him all this time to finally figure it out, and now he's leaving. So I've been mainly, it's been that, it's been Chucky. I've still been watching that Wonder Years reboot, which I've been liking. That's just like a sitcom, so that's not really anything to invest in. And then just going back and watching like older stuff, like catching up on stuff like weird. It's like with these streaming things, it's like, oh, this is here now? I haven't seen that in a while. Let me check that out.
I threw on For the Kids, Jingle All the Way.
Oh, I actually like that movie.
That's a great movie.
Yes.
It's hilarious. It still holds.
Yep.
Good movie.
And Darth Vader is in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because plus I remember the days of like that. Like when like your parents would like still have to go to the store to buy stuff and like they would be waiting on lines and like fighting with each other over things and like the mayhem that would go on over that. That happens now with certain things, but like it's not like it used to be because back then you had to go to a store to buy stuff. Yeah, but that's on my list of like when it comes to like Christmas movies, I have a list of ones that I watch like every year, and that's one of them.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. Now, cool. Don't watch Jingle All the Way 2 with Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, that's like, what was it when they made like The Mask 2 and
Son of the Mask. Yeah.
I saw that they like shrunk down Ace Ventura into like a kid.
Yes.
Yeah. No. There was like back in the day, there was a TV show, a cartoon, animated series called James Bond Jr.
Yep.
Yeah, I used to watch that for girls.
There's even there's actually even a Christmas Vacation 2.
Is there really?
There is. It went direct to video.
I was like, wait a second. Let me think about that.
It's
really?
Yeah. Cousin Eddie winds up like on an island.
Oh, boy.
And the only character from like they actually bring back Dana Barron, who was the original Audrey in the first movie, Vacation movie, not even Christmas Vacation, because that was Juliette Lewis.
Yeah.
They bring back Dana Barron, the original Audrey, to play Audrey. And so that's really like the only connection. It's a thing.
Wow.
And it's ironic because it's called Christmas Vacation 2, even though like
NBC.
It's a vacation franchise. It's not like Christmas Vacation wasn't its own franchise, but yeah. So wow. I guess anything can get a sequel.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
For real. Okay.
There's a Christmas Story too, also.
I heard about that one too. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. The Age of Sequels.
Yeah. All just right. Weird that you would make a sequel to like a hit movie and a kind of movie and like have it be something that nobody knows even existed. It's one thing for it to be bad. It's another thing for like people to not even know it happened.
Yeah.
That's
pointless.
Yeah. For now, I guess not much really happening, right? No big movies coming out until, I guess, December 17th, right? Spider-Man?
Yeah, man.
I know people are...
Now that Eternals is done and dusted.
Right.
In a way. That marketing machine is going to turn up. Actually, it doesn't even really need to turn up, if I'm being honest with you.
No, but it will, though.
But it will.
Yeah.
That's gonna be the movie that people are going to be like, we're all back in the theaters. Oh, my God, it's amazing. So.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at these Hot Toys collectibles, Empire Strikes Back figures.
Okay.
I'm
just going to look for.
No, it just popped up on Instagram. Mm. And damn.
Cool.
Oh, these things look amazing. Yeah. Cool. So anyway, yeah. So we'll see. So Spider-Man's going to be huge. It's exciting. I'm pumped for that. I know there's a lot of people that are dying to see the new trailer, because I think they're assuming that you're going to see some more Spider-Men in it. Mm. I don't care, to be honest with you, if we even get another trailer.
Yeah.
I almost would rather not know whether there's any other Spider-Men in this movie until I sit down and watch the movie. Like, imagine, because I know there are going to be people that say, like, oh, if you don't see it in the trailer, then maybe it's not really a thing.
I don't believe that at all.
But imagine not seeing it, and then all of a sudden you're in that theater and it happens, and how amazing that would be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd rather not. I don't even want to know at this point. Like, even with that poster, the fact that they're confirming Goblin, obviously we knew that it was there, but I was cool with, like, trailer, pumpkin bomb.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. You know, let's see how it all shapes up. But people are feverish to know more.
So. Yeah, it turns out people are, well, and I guess it makes sense. I mean, you know, in, like, these circles, things like multiverses and stuff like that are going to play to us more than it's going to play to, like, a mainstream audience.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a lot of that, you know, on Twitter and stuff. But yeah.
I mean, I saw, you know, people have been analyzing this Andrew Garfield scene because he's on a blue screen and looks.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
I've seen that image so many times on my timeline. I saw another video of, like, they were, it was somebody in a Spider-Man costume with Zendaya, and they were about to shoot off, you know, like, they're about to get on the wire, and then, like, it looks like Andrew Garfield walks past the scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? I'm like, I can't trust any of this stuff. People are deep faking the hell out of these things. So just wait. Wait till the movie. And then have your minds blown. Hopefully.
Yes.
Could be just a convoluted mess.
Could all be Mephisto.
It is.
Yeah.
It was Agatha all along.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the last. I think that's the thing that we're looking forward to. I'm sure both of us. And so in the meantime, you know, you guys stay tuned for some other awesome content. We'll be doing our kind of, like, rundown of series and rankings and stuff like that. So stay tuned for some more awesome content where we get to rank franchises.
We're going to be doing this rank in the movies thing. Sometimes it might be part of, like, an episode. Sometimes it might be maybe its own episode, like a side thing. So if you have any ideas for it, it could be franchises, obviously ones that have enough movies to warrant a ranking. It can be genres, right? So, like, favorite comedies, favorite horror movies, whatever. It could be even, like, eras, right? So, like, 80s comedies or 80s horror movies or 80s, you know, sci-fi or 80s movies in general, like, whatever. Like, it could be anything like that. Anything that you can think of that would make for a fun ranking list. And we have our own ideas as well, and we'll put that all together, and we'll start doing some of those and start incorporating some of that into the program over time. So you can hit us up on the Twitter, right? The Facebook, mm-hmm. the Instagram, at the Fanboy Garage. Of course, you can go to thefanboygarage.com and check out all of our stuff. And you can find me on Twitter at RealCLMighty.
And you can find me on Twitter at @AAronSpeaks. Thank you so much for listening to episode 153 of the Fanboy Garage. We will catch you guys next week. Later.
You're listening to the Fanboy Garage Podcast.